So I was just now looking at the bulletin and the title for the sermon this morning, The Truth About Honesty. I realized that this was last week's sermon topic. This morning's we're talking about the greatest ingredient, which is love. We come to the end of our unity series talking about the things that bring unity to our world and especially to the Church of Jesus Christ in our day and age. We've talked about these things being forgiveness, accountability, honesty, and today, love. Now, these are not all of them, an exhaustive list of them, but these are what we feel are the most important biblically with the body of believers from the day Jesus came. These are what we believe to be the most important ingredients in the church in order to bring unity within the church. One subject has had more songs written about it and more poems written about it, more books written about it, more studies about it, is love. Love is a very important thing to humanity. We know that when we don't feel loved, we go down a very dark path. Love is something that can bring us out of the depths and the darkness of those dark days of our soul. They can encourage us. They can cleanse us. Love just has a very powerful presence in us and what it does when we're loved. And it is very important for human beings to not only be loved, but to love others. And this includes the writings of the Bible. In the Bible, the first place that love is mentioned is in Genesis. When Isaac's about to die, he asks Esau to go out into the fields and get some game and prepare the kind of tasty food that Isaac loves. King James Version uses that word, loves. In the Hebrew language, the original language, that word meant to have affection for. So Isaac was asking Esau to go out and get some food and prepare the kind of food that Isaac had affection for. We read about it in Genesis chapter 29. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. You remember that story. And they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. In other words, Jacob loved Rachel so much that working 7 years for her seemed like nothing. His love was so great for her. His affection for her was so great that it seemed like nothing to him. In Leviticus chapter 19, we find some of the Levitical laws. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So God commands, as one of the Levitical laws for his people, that we love our neighbor as ourself. And you know the story, we ask, well, who is my neighbor? That's another sermon for another day. As we go on through the Old Testament, using this word for love, meaning to have affection for, we come to the New Testament. We start reading about this topic of love and what love really means. Love was an important thing to Jesus. He says in Matthew chapter 5, you heard it, that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus said. Now that word perfect, it does not mean perfect in the sense that we think of it. It means be complete, be mature like God is in loving everyone around us. In the New International Version, we read the word love 551 times in 505 different sections. It's very important. Love is a prominent theme in the New Testament, as not only Jesus, but Paul spoke about the absolute need for Christians to express love, because love is the purest and best expression of godliness. If we think it's hard to love someone, imagine how God must feel about us sometimes. But love is the purest and best expression of godliness. In John chapter 13, Jesus gives a new command. This is where we get the term Maundy Thursday, the Maundy Thursday service. It was a new mandate, mandatum, a new mandate given by Jesus. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, because by this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. So Jesus was all about loving other people, especially the brethren, the Bible tells us, other disciples of Jesus Christ. Love is the first of the listed spiritual gifts in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Love is the first of those that Paul lists. In Matthew chapter 22, regarding the law, you know, those Pharisees were into the law. There's a lot of people today that are into the law. I'm a good person. I live by the law. I do good things. You know, we can't break the law. We got to live by the law. Regarding the law, Jesus, one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question: which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Because all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments: loving the Lord and loving your neighbor as yourself. Love not only fulfills the law, you see, it's a command of Jesus, our King. When we start reading about love in the New Testament, we find there are four different words in the Greek language for love that, when it was transliterated into English, they just generically used the word love. Two of them I want to talk about today. One is agape or agapeo, which is an affection or benevolence. This describes God's unconditional love in that God has an affection for all human beings, in a sense that God is ready to give whatever's needed at all times, at all places. It's unconditional. In other words, we don't have to meet God's conditions for God to love us. He's ready to love us. He's ready to give us and supply our needs because he loves us. That's agape love. The second I want to talk about is phileo. It's where we get the word Philadelphia from, the city of brotherly love. Phileo is to be a friend, to be fond of an individual or an object. It's like brotherly love. There are others that are like a love of family members. You love them because they're your family, and sometimes that's a little hard. But the two I want to talk about are the agape and the phileo love this morning. These deal with emotional and intellectual love. You know, we don't just say to someone, I love you, because we're supposed to. We actually allow ourselves to be emotionally involved in that relationship. That when they suffer, we suffer. When they hurt, we hurt. When they're in need, we want to help them. Remember when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, three times? Do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus used three different words there in the Greek language for love, because he wanted to be sure that Peter's love was whole and genuine, and that Peter's love was not only the agape love, the unconditional love, but it was the love of a friend and the love of a brother, you see, like a family member. And each time Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. In our text today, which is what I want to really get into, Jesus is with his disciples on the night before he's crucified. So you know he's going to give them what's most important to them. The sermon he's going to give them is most important on Jesus' heart, at the forefront of what Jesus is all about, because he's not going to be with them very long. So what does he do? He teaches them about love. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I want you to think for a second about God's love and Jesus' love, this agape love, and that's the words that are used here, the agape, unconditional affection and benevolence, that God would do anything, Jesus would do anything for us. I want to ask you the question, why should they? Why should they do anything for us? Well, God is love, and that's true, but God is also just, and we're sinners. Don't we deserve justice? Absolutely we do. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life. God proves his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, While we were yet sinners, God sent his son. You see, we say it when we have communion. We're reminded of God's grace. Now, I want to ask you, if Jesus said, love one another as the Father's loved me, so I've loved you. That's an unconditional love where Jesus looks through us and he looks through the dirt and the stain of our sin into this, our hearts and the very depths of our souls. And he loves us because we're God's creation. And he wants us to be with him forever. He wants us to know the joy that he knows. So he says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. That's not remaining in loving Christ, but he's saying, remain in my agape love. Continue this loving kindness to others. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. A human being will never know true joy in their hearts until they are able to fully and honestly love others as Jesus has loved us. As I have loved you, my command is this: love each other. Until we are able to look through others' sin and others' stains and see them as a created soul of Almighty God, God's creation, hurting, in need of salvation, needing to know Jesus Christ, to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity, hurting in our soul because that person may end up in hell for eternity. And we don't want that because Jesus didn't want it for us. So Jesus says, as I've loved you and I've looked through your sin, forgiven your sin, forgive you as sinners and love you as sinners, I want you to do the same for everybody else. This is tough stuff. He's commanding us. He's not asking us. He's commanding us as his disciples. And he says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I'm not calling you my servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I called you my friends, for everything I learned from my Father I've made known to you. Wow. Jesus has made known to us. We're his friends and he's commanding his friends. I want you to love others as I've loved you. We don't deserve his love. I'll say it again. We don't deserve his love. There's nothing in this world we can do to deserve Jesus' love. He loves us because he chooses to love us. And he went to the cross because he chose to. In fact, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. To bear fruit and fruit that will last. We will never bear fruit as the Church of Jesus Christ until we are wholly and honestly and unconditionally loving others. Not only will we bear fruit, but we will be a church full of joy. That joy will never come until we can find it in our hearts to love others. And he said, this is my command. Love each other. These things we've been talking about for unity, church unity, forgiveness, accountability, honesty, and love, they're tough, aren't they? They're tough ones. Jesus didn't promise us it was going to be easy. But he did promise us his Holy Spirit would be with us. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You see, we have the Holy Spirit in us. So we're empowered by Christ's presence to love others. And that's really hard sometimes. Oftentimes someone will say concerning somebody that they don't like, well, I never said I don't love them. Or I never said I hated them. You see? But the old saying is true, actions speak louder than words. Oftentimes someone will say concerning somebody that they don't like, I never said I don't love them. Or I never said I hated them. But actions speak louder than words, don't they? And the world can see our actions. So I thought about this a little bit last night. The Lord kept leading me to 1 John, in which John writes about love. First of all, love reveals truth. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. There's nothing in him to make him stumble, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. So love reveals truth. It's like a light shining on something when there's love. And when someone hates someone else that says they love God, the Bible says that's not possible, because if you really love God, you'll even love your enemies. Secondly, love identifies us as Christians. 1 John again, chapter 3, verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Wow. Oh, now this is powerful stuff. This is how we know who God's children are and the devil's children are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another, John says. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Love reveals the truth. Love identifies us as Christians. And love, as John says, is an action. Love is the manifestation of God in us. As John continues in 1 John chapter 4, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he's in us because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, if God put his Spirit in us, God is love, he put his Spirit in us, we should be able to love one another because God loves us and loves us so much that he sent his Son. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love's made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we're like him. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he's given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the difference between our God and our religion and the God of other religions. Our God is love. And he puts his Spirit in us so that we might love others. And he commands us to love others, not to bomb others, not to blow others up, not to push our way around in the world and say we're the only right religion. But Christians love one another. That's why our God is not the same God of other religions that claim our gods are the same. Our God is not the same as some of those religions. Our God is a God of love who commands us to love, not to be hostile, not to kill with our actions and our words. Our actions prove whether love is in us or not. Regarding love and unity in the church, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in that famous love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. You see, if I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. In other words, what Paul's saying, it doesn't matter what I do, what I know, where I go, what I give. If I don't have love in my heart, it's worthless, it's wasted. And Paul says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Isn't that something that really sparks us to hate, is jealousy? Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I want you to understand what Paul's saying here. Not for us, but outwardly towards others. It's an expression, this love that he's talking about. Look how Paul describes love. The body's a unit. We're a unit together in chapter 12. He speaks about the church as Jesus Christ. We're a body. We're a unit with different parts. And we have different gifts. But if we use those without love towards one another, it's all wasted. It's for nothing. And we're really not in God, and God's not in us. You see, these gifts that were given were meant to be expressed outwardly to the world around us, to edify others, to shed light on the world, a world that's in darkness, and to expose God, the true God, who is love. And this was the love by which Jesus went to the cross for you and I, who didn't deserve any of it. Unconditional love. Love is an expression of grace, folks. Love is an expression of grace. I want to say it again. Love is an expression of grace. It's not a response to someone who deserves it. I'm going to say it again. Love is an expression of grace, not a response to someone who deserves it. As Christians, we don't love others because they deserve it. We love them because they don't deserve it and because they're lost. And the love of God is not in them for whatever reason. And they've done something to us. They've said something to us. They've treated us a certain way that they shouldn't have, and they still call themselves Christians. That's between them and God. It's still a command by King Jesus. And our responsibility as Christians to still love them. What does that mean? I have to walk around with my arms around them all the time, telling them to their face that I love them? No. It means that we have to have a benevolent, affectionate attitude towards hurting people that hurt others, in the sense that we're ready to help them in a moment's notice, that we're ready to give our lives for their benefit in a moment's notice, that we're ready to reach out to them in a moment's notice, just like God would to you and I, should the need be. You see, and sometimes that love is not received by them. Have you ever tried to express your love to someone and they won't take it? They don't have to, but that's between them and God when they don't. They're free to choose whether they're going to receive it or not. But woe to those who won't receive grace. Because woe to those who turn down God's grace in Jesus Christ, his expression of love. So what do we do when someone won't receive our love? We turn them over to the Lord, as Paul did. Pray for them. And we ask that God's Holy Spirit would shine a light deep into their souls. But we still keep loving them and praying for them and speaking well of them. That's the love that Jesus commanded us to live out in the church. and remain in until his coming. And there absolutely cannot be unity in the body of believers until there is love. Somebody says, how can I love or show love to someone? How can I be loving or show love to someone? Well, as we said here, love is an action. Love is an action. I receive many cards from people at various times throughout the year. And oftentimes we say, oh, wow, it's the thought that counts. That's hogwash. It's not the thought that counts. It's that the thought caused that person's heart to act. You see, to do something. You see. It's because they were moved deep in their soul. It doesn't matter how small a thing it is. There's nothing too small when it comes to showing love. I mean, if you want to make me an apple pie or send me $1 million, that'll do. But still in all, you see, it's not about that kind of stuff. You know, you get a card and the card says, or like I say, some people will say, well, it's the thought that counts. And I can say, well, I love so-and-so and I love so-and-so. It's the thought that counts that I love everyone. But that's not really true. That love has to be put into action. Because, you know, if someone says to me, they just have the thought, and they say to me, well, Pastor Mike, I was thinking about you the other day. I say, wow, that's great. It's the thought that counts. Yeah, I was watching rugby the other night. This great big burly fat guys were rolling around on the ground on each other. And I was thinking that one guy looks like Pastor Mike. You see? Wow. You understand? If you get the card in the mail and it says, you know, praying God blesses you or something. You know, folks, it doesn't matter. A phone call, a card, just a nice hello, a wave going up and down the road means a whole lot in this world today. A smile to the cashier at the checkout counter, a smile at the person that you sit down to, wherever you might eat this afternoon. Love really isn't hard if we try. And like I say, not everybody's going to accept our love, but that's between them and God. We are commanded and we are responsible to love others. And it doesn't mean we walk around with our arms around each other all the time. Someday we'll do that in heaven. The key ingredients to church unity today are forgiveness, accountability, honesty, and most of all, love, which ties everything together. And that just sparked a thought in my mind. As Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, and I have to find it now. As he closes. And where is it? He was talking about love binding everything together in perfect unity. Where are my Bible scholars this morning? He's talks about living by the Spirit and living according to God. It's in Colossians, and I don't want to leave without leaving you with this thought. Here it is. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And this is a thought I want to leave you with this morning. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's pray.